Today's shiur is a Masechta Tamid on Daf Chav Ches. We will begin on Daf Chav Zayin Amid Beis, three lines from the bottom of the Amid, the third word on the line, Tnan Hasam. The Gemara now is quoting a Mishnah in Midos, Perek Aleph Mishnah Beis, and the Rosh, which we can find on Daf Chav Ches Amid Aleph, five lines from the bottom of the Amid, states, Umaisi lo hocha, this Mishnah Masechta Midos is brought here, although it has no shaychus with what we have learnt in the previous Gemara. Mashma mishum the boy lemichvash alo Gemara, umidos ein lo Gemara. So the Rosh is saying that there's no Gemara Masechta Midos, and since the Gemara had something to say on this Mishnah Masechta Midos, therefore, it is brought here. It has some shaks with the Gemara we learned before, because it's speaking about guarding each Mishmor that was guarding the various places. So it brings it here, but it has really no direct shaykhis to what we learned before. Tanan Hasan, we learned there Masechta Midos, Ish Har Habayis. The Mefarish says here this means the Tsar, the officer of the Harabais. The Rosh on Chav Ches Amud Aleph says, Sar u'memuna al tzorche Harabais. And he's called the Sar Harabais, the officer of the Harabais. And one of his jobs was to go around to make sure that all the guards are guarding properly and they're not falling asleep on the job. As the Mishnah continues to say there in Midos, Hayamachzer al kol mishmar mishmar, he would go around to every guard, and there were lights that were shining in front of him. Either these were lights on the wall, or he had kohanim who were carrying the torches in front of him. And every watch, any guard who did not stand up and greet him as they should have done, which was proper, derech eretz, and say to him, Ish Har Habayis, as he was referred to, as we turn to Chav Ches Amud Aleph, Shalom Alecha, Shalom Aleichem, peace to you. If they didn't say that, Nikr Shehu Yashin, that was an indication that they were sleeping on the job. And what would the Ish Har Habayis do? Choifta, he would hit him, he would strike him, B'makloi, with his staff. V'rishus Haisaloi Lisraves Ksusai, and he also had permission to burn his outer garment. Now, the Rosh and many Mephoroshim wonder how he's allowed to do this. He didn't always do it, but if, for example, perhaps this Kohen did it often, it was up to him to what degree he would punish the Kohen. Actually, Kohen will see if he got punished, but certainly the Levi got punished. And it was up to the Sar Harabais to decide the severity of the punishment. The Rosh questions how he could burn his outer garment as a punishment. Why wasn't it Bal Tashchis? The Rosh apparently does not have a problem with how he could hit him. One is not allowed to hit someone else either. That seems to be not a problem, because since he's coming as a Koyach of Bezdin, Bezdin has a right to enforce the halachas of the Torah, to make a geder, to hit, and there are times we find in the Gemara and Sanhedrin, they would even take someone's life if they felt it was necessary. So they had this extra special power to punish people. That's not a question. The problem is, how could they destroy his garment? Why isn't it Bal Tashchis? On this, the Rosh answers, the Hefker Bezdin Hoya Hefker. Four lines from the bottom in the Rosh and Chav Ches here, Chav Ches Amud Aleph. So Hefker Bezdin Hefker, the Rav Shulchan Aruch says that by Hefker alone, somebody's mafker, his object, there is an isser of Bal Tashchis. So perhaps we can say that Hefker Bezdin Hefker is stronger than a plain person being mafker. But even that, there are those who question, why should Hefker Bezdin Hefker take away the Isser of Baal Tashchis. But perhaps the Pashita answer to this question is there's no Baal Tashchis here whatsoever, because since it was being done as a form of punishing this Kayin who was sleeping on the job when he should have been guarding the, or again, the Levi who was sleeping on the job, since it was a mode of punishment, therefore it is not considered any Baal Tashchis. Continues the Gemara, Vehem Oimrim, and the people there would say, Ma koil bazar, what's the sound that we hear in the Azara? We hear somebody being hit, we hear something being burnt, and they would answer, Koil ben Levi loike. This is the sound of the ben Levi who's being hit, who begot of this rough man, his garments are being burnt. Why? She yashin loy al, the Shita puts in the word, mishmartoi. This Levi was sleeping on his job when he should have been guarding. Now, perhaps we can be medayik from the Gemara. It says Koil ben Levi. It doesn't say Koil Kayhain. Perhaps a Kayhain did not receive this punishment because there's an Indian of Vikidashtoi to treat a Kayhain with special reverence and covet. V'chibaritoi, to honor him and to sanctify him. So perhaps he escaped this punishment, even if he was sleeping on the job. However, the Ben Levi did receive these various punishments. Continues the Gemara with a story. Rav Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, Pam achas motzer sachi imi. They once found my mother's brother, in other words, my uncle Yashin, who was sleeping. V'sarfes k'susoi, and they burnt his kisus. When Rabbi Yochanan came to this Mishnah, he said the following, Ashreyem l'rishoinim, praiseworthy were the earlier generations. Sha'afilu al oinashina oisin din. We find that they would do a judgment even when it came to something that the person was an oinus on. It was an accident that he fell asleep, as the Mefarish says on the fourth line in the right-hand column. The Shina Zuhi Oinus. Shina is considered an accident. She'ein Adam Yochel Lamed Es Atzmoi Shaloi Lishin Mishabo Loi Shina Leinai. Once a person starts drowsing off, he can't stop himself from falling asleep. And this is a warning to drivers who feel tired that they should pull over, because once a person feels tired that he could fall asleep, there are chances that he will fall asleep, and it's a sakana. So madach, there's a kavachoma here, Rabbi Yochanan is saying. If we see the Doris Rishonim punished for something that could be considered an accident when he fell asleep, so certainly how much more that they were vigilant when a person did something wrong, as the Mefarish says, when it wasn't an accident, but rather he did it b'mezid, so certainly they were very careful to punish for that infraction. Tanya, we learned in the Brice, the Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, Ezu hi derech yishor, what is the straight and proper way, shiver loya adam, that a person should choose? So the Mefarish here says, in Divrei HaMaschil, Ezu derech yishor shiver loya adam, har beit dvorim tzorch loya adam lifchor, there are many things that a person has to choose in his life that are important. Elohachi kamer, ezehi derech achas midracham ayisharm. What is one of the straight ways, sheyivra loyadam, that a person should choose? And what is the Gemara's answer to this? Yev esatechachas. The Mefarish explains, lev esatechachas, that a person should love to receive Musar, chastisement from other people if he's doing something wrong, that he should be able to correct himself. The Rosh says, Oyhev mi shemaychiyach. He loves the person who is giving him toychacha. Why should he love a person who gives him toychacha? Why is that the derech yishara sheyavar loy adam? So the Braisa continues, shekol zman shetoychachas boilam. As long as there are musar and chastisements in the world, nachas ruch bo loylam, there is a pleasant spirit that comes on the world. Toivu bracha boin lo'olam. There is good and blessing that comes to the world. V'ro mistal kalas min olam. And evil goes away from the world. So the Mefarish explains, Adam shemekabel toichacha yinam. It's pleasant for him. V'nachas ruach bo lo'olam. And now the Gemara continues, Shenemar ulamachicham yinam, and to those who receive the Teichacha, it is pleasant, va'aleim tavi bracha v'toiv, and through them comes blessing and good. V'yeshayimrim, and some say, what is that derech yishor ashiyivra lo yadam? Yachzik b'emuni yaseira. He should grab onto very much being honest in business. As the Mefarish explains, that it means v'yitein, yisa v'yitein im b'nei adam b'emuna, faithfully, he should do business with people, v'lo yanes abrius, and he should not cheat people. Shenemar, the Gemara brings a pasuk, the eyes of Hashem, b'nemonei eretz l'shevas imadi, they can sit with me, those who are faithful in this world. Now, the Marsha has a question on the Mefarish, who's explained that there are many things that a person could choose, but we want to choose one. So ask the Marsha, what is the V'yesh Oimrim? The V'yesh Oimrim seems to be arguing on Rebbe. What's the Machloikis? If according to the Mefarish you could choose one thing, so Rebbe chose the Indian of loving Teichachas, and the V'yesh Oimrim are choosing Emunah, but what's the Machloikis of being honest in business? Certainly, Rebbe holds of that as well. He was choosing one, and there are many things that you could choose. It seems to be a Machloikis here. That's the question of the Marsha. So, Lufi Ani Ezdaitu, we don't understand what is the question, because it's similar to what we find in Pirkei Avos. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had 5 Talmidim, and he asked each one of them, what's the best thing that a person can choose? And there were 5 answers. There was Ayin Toiva, Lev Toiv, there was Ezu Chachma Royas HaNoiled. So what he meant to ask was, what's the best thing? Of course, there's many things. The one who said Lev Toiv agreed that Ayin Toiv is important also, and that Chacham Arayas HaNoilet is important also. He felt that Ayin Toiv is the best. The other one felt Lev Toiv, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, in fact, at the end, concludes that Lev Toiv is the best. So this is the discussion here between Rebbe and the Yesh Oimrim, the way the Mefarish learns it. There are many things that you could do, but what should you stress? The Rebbe felt that the stress should be on Oyevus HaTechachas, and the Yeshem felt that the stress is on Yachzik Bemuna Yisera. You should be very honest as you do business. So it's not clear what is bothering the Marsha about the Mefarish. On the other hand, the Marsha himself wants to give a different shot, and he says that Rebbe here is Rebbe Lishitasa in Pirkei Avos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph, where Rebbe says, the way the Marsha understands what Rebbe is saying in Pirkei Avos is, what's the one derech? And therefore the Marsha learns that Rebbe here is saying, you know, that what's that one derech? What's that one thing which is, it's good for the one who does it and it's good for the world? That's if you receive Teichachas. Because that's a win-win situation. Everybody wins. The person himself, first of all, he does tshuva, becomes better. Then he gets ne'imus on him. He gets taiva and bracha. The world gets taiva and bracha. The person who's giving him teichacha, if he does it l'shem shemaim, gets, as we'll soon see, great bracha. So it's good for the person who's doing it, and it's good for the world. That's what Rebbe held. The Yesh Oimrim said no. The one derech that will be good for the person who's doing it and good for the world is if you're honest in business. Then it's honesty in the world. Everybody's honest with you. You're honest with everyone. You're not cheating anyone. Nobody's getting cheated. That's good for you and it's good for the world. That's how the Marsha understands what the Machloikis is here. What's the one derech? This pshat of the Marsha, Lefi Ani Ezdaiti again, is also difficult because L'chaira Rebbe in Pirkei Avos doesn't mean that there's one and one and only derech. Rebbe means what's the path, b'chol drachecha de'eyu. What's the common thread throughout everything that you do in your life, and that's that it should be good for you and good for people. As the Rav there in Pirkei Avos gives the famous mashal about tzedakah. If a person is mefazer everything, that's no good. It's not good for him. He gives all his money away. On the other hand, if he's a kamtzen and he keeps everything for himself and doesn't give any money to any tzedakah or any needy individual, that's not good for people. The derech hamemutza is the way, as the Rambam calls it, the Shvil Azov, the golden path that's good for people and it's good for the individual. So why the Marsha understands Rebbe and Pirkei Avos to mean there's only one derech, there's only one case, which is Tversel Yisrael, Tversel Adam, and that goof is the machloikis here between the Rebbe and the Yesh Haimrim, seems difficult when, in fact, it seems that Rebbe is saying a klal that goes through all inyanim in the Torah. Vitzarech Ian. Continues the Gemara that I should point out before we go on that the Marsha adds that Birchas Toiv perhaps refers to Moshe Rabbeinu, who had many names. He was Tuvia, he was Toiv, he was called Toiv. And Moshe Rabbeinu, we find at the end of his life in Sefer Dvorim, he gives tremendous mussar to Klal Yisrael. And yet, it was through Moshe Rabbeinu that Klal Yisrael received the brachas from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So on the one hand, he's giving the mussar. On the other hand, Va'aleim Tavoy Birchas Toiv, says the pasuk. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Kol Meichichas Chaveru L'Shem Shemayim. Whoever gives mussar to his friend for the sake of heaven, he's not doing it for any personal agenda. Zoicha L'Chelkoi Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chelkoi says the Mefaresh L'Mechitzasoi Kolomer B'toich Mechitzasoi Shekein Nemar Machiach Adam Harehu Acharai Kolomer Imi. That's the pasuk that the Gemara here brings. If a person gives Teichach L'Shem Shemayim, he's part of inside the mechitza of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shenemar, machiach adam acharai, a person who gives mussar to others, and he means the L'Shem Shemayim, he's after Hashem, he's with Hashem. V'loy oid, the pasuk there continues, elo shemoishchen olav chutzal chesed, a thread of kindness is pulled over him. Shenemar, chen yimtza mimachlik loshen, that this person who gives mussar will have the favor in the eyes of people upon him more than the smooth tongue, more than the person who butters other people up. We would think that others would enjoy the machlik lashon more, but in fact, the person who gives mussar, but that mussar people see, is not for his own personal agenda. It's l'shem shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts over that person a chut shel chesed, a chut of chen goes on that person, and everybody loves him, and everybody appreciates getting the mussar from that person because he means it l'shem shemayim. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of the Mishnah. Matzoi no'ol, if he found the door closed, that was in the Kisei Shalkovit, so he knows that someone's in there and he doesn't enter. And then it continued. Mishu writes a litermus from his Beach. It gave the procedure for how the person who wanted to be part of the pious of the lottery would go to the mikveh and he would be part of the lottery. So the Gemara asks, Hagufa Kasha, I have a stira in the mission itself, from the beginning to the end. Amrat, you said, Mishu who writes a litermus from his Beach, Mashkim, he gets up early. V'toivel, Achula Yava Mimuna, before the person who is Mimuna on the pious comes, so he would already get up and go to the mikvah. Alma, we see lavifies talya milsa. It's not dependent on the pious. In fact, the Reish of the Mishnah doesn't mention the word pious at all. And either we could say from the Reish, which doesn't mention pious, it's mashma, it's not talyum pious. Or, as the Rush says, if there was a pious, why would the Reish of the Mishnah say he goes to the mikveh? Why doesn't he wait to see if he's the one and only Kohen who's going to do the Trumas Hadeshen, taking a shovel full of the ashes from the previous day's Korbanis that are on the Mizbeach, and bring them to the eastern side of the next to the Kevesh? Why doesn't he wait until the pious falls on him and then go to the mikveh before he does the avodah of Trumas Hadeshen? So it's mashma that there is no pious. That's how the Rush understands the Rai. V'hadar Tani, and then it says at the end of the Mishnah, Yavoi v'yafayis, that the Mamunah calls out whoever wants to be part of the pious, and he went to the mikveh, let him come and be part of the lottery. Alma b'fayis tol yimilsa, from the end is mashu, it is totally in the lottery. So on this, we have two terutzim, one of Abai and one of Rava. Omar Abai, loy kasha, kan koidim takana, kan lacha takana. The reish of the Mishnah was spoken during a period where there was no pious. That was before they instituted the pious. And the sefer of the Mishnah that speaks about pious is speaking about after the takana when they made a pious. The snan. Because we learned in the Mishnah in Yuma, Daf Chav Beis Amid Aleph, Bar Rishon in the beginning, Kol Misha Roitza Litramas Mizbeach Torah. Whoever wanted to do Trumas Hadesh on the Mizbeach would do it. And what was the procedure before they made the takan of pious? Bizman Shem Arubin, when there were many people who wanted to do it, there wasn't only one person, one kayin who wanted to do it. Rutz and Val Makavish, they would all run up to the Mizbeach on the ramp. Kol HaKadim Shaveri B'toich Arba Amazach. Whoever ran quicker and was the closest to the Mizbeach within four Amas from the Mizbeach, he was Zoicha to the Trumas Hadeshen. Let's say two people got to within four arms of Mizbeach equally, then they would do a pious. The one who was appointed would tell them, Hitzbiyu, stick out your fingers, and then he would make a goral, Uman Moitzi, and what do they stick out? Achas or Shnayim, sometimes one, sometimes two, depending on certain conditions. Ve'ein Moitzi in Goral B'Migdash. You were not allowed to put out your thumb in the Migdash because that could bring to cheating. By the way, when they now did Hitzpiyu, it was not only on the two who raced up and were both within Dalet Amos. Now that didn't work out, then they included all the Kohanim who wanted to do the Trumas Hadeshen, and they went through the system that we discussed in another shir, which was that they were in a circle. They took off the hat of one coin arbitrarily, and they started counting a number which was much more than the circle of Kohanim that were there, and they went round and round until they stopped at one coin when they reached that number, and he's the one who did the Trumas Hadeshen. So now that the system of running up the Keves didn't work in this particular case because there were two people who got within Dalet Amos, so now they used the pious system for all the Kohanim who were there. Umahin Moitzi, and what did all the Kohanim take out? Achas or Shtayim, one or two fingers. Ve'ei Moitzi, and Godel B'Migdash, you didn't put out a thumb because that would lead to cheating. Because a person could, for example, put out his pinky and his thumb, and it would look, the Kohen might think that it's actually two people. When he would see that it was supposed to end up on the next person, he'd figure out that the number is going to end up on the next person, so he would cheat and put out a finger and a thumb, and the coin would count it as two people, and it would end up by him. Ein mitzin goydel b'migdash. Maisit is a story. The Bach says that the next words are Maisa Bishnayim Shahayu Shavim. There was a case where there were two who reached within four Amis of the Keves together, Ruts and Voilim, but they ran up a Keves. Vidach of Echemem Schaver, one pushed off the other, off the Keves, and when he fell down, Nishbar Ragloi, his leg broke. Ukishiro Bezdin, when Bezdin saw Shahayu Boim Lede Sakana, that this was coming, this system was leading to Sakana, his skin they made a Takana, Shaloyu Torminus Mizbech El Bavayas, that they should not be Torem the Mizbech only through a lottery. And therefore, according to the stairs, our Mishnah is speaking about two tkufas. The first part of the Mishnah that seemed to indicate there was no pious is in the before the takana. And the second part of the Mishnah was going on the tkufa. Rebbe put together two tkufas, and there the system was with a pious. Rava gives a different teretz. Rava Amar Idaviri Lacha Takana. Both the Reish and the Sefer of the Mishnah are speaking about after the Takana. And really, the Reish and the Sefer, you have to combine, they're all saying the same idea. Vahachik Tani, Mi Shehu Roitze, whoever wants to come, Lavayu Lafayis, to come and be part of the lottery, Mashkim, that's the Sefer now. Mashkim V'toivel Achela Yaveh Amamuna, before the Mamuna comes and says, if you went to the mikveh, you could be part of the pious. So he puts the two pieces together, and it's all one thing. So if so, we remain with the question, which the Rush addresses, if that is the case, according to Rava, so why, in fact, did the Kohen go to the mikveh before the pius, the Rosh had a point that he should wait for the pius, and if it comes out on him from all the other Kohanim, then he should go to the mikveh. On this, the Rosh answers two questions. One is sheyehei mezumin miyad acher hagoyro lavaydasei. Three lines from the bottom here on the Chav Chesam and Alf and the Rosh. The first there it says because we wanted him not to waste time, and right after the pious, he should right away go to do bezrizes the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshin. Inam, he says, the Rush, Machmas Chibas HaMitzvah, because of the love that he had for the mitzvah, Shema Yemaher, maybe he would go very quickly, V'yichnais Lazar, he would enter the Azar, B'loy Tefillah, he would start to do the Avodah without Tefillah, and one is not allowed to enter the Azara to do the Avodah without first going to the mikvah, so to make sure that once he won the lottery, he didn't get ecstatic, I was zeichet to do this mitzvah and run in, do the Avodah without going to the mikveh, we made him go to the mikveh. Everyone had to go to the mikveh in order to enter the pious before the results of the pious were known. Continues the next Mishnah in the order of what happened when the Kohen was going to do Trumas Hadeshin, not the Lasa Mafteach. He took the key, and here the Mefarish says, where did he take the key from? Mitachas HaTavlo Shoshayish, from under the slab of marble, which was in the floor. V'loy, there in the base HaMoikid, V'loy Hoya Poiseyach Sharei Azora, Ad Shayale Amud HaShachar. He wouldn't open the gates of the Azora until the Amud HaShachar, the morning star, he would open up in the shar of the Beis HaMoiked. He wouldn't open up the gate itself, but he would open up, as we learned in the earlier sugi, he would open up the door that is in the Mefarsh learns that the door was in the gate. And Hachstama Rabbi Yehuda Demidis to Omar Pesach Katan Hoyoloi, there was a small door, Shaboy Nichnasin Livloish Esha Azora, to check the Azora. So let's see the Mishnah. Not the Lesem Avteach, he took this key, and he didn't open the shar, but rather Uposach Esapishbesh, he opened up the small gate. The Mefar said it was in the shar. Others say it was in the wall next to the shar. The Nichnas, and he entered, Mibes Hamokade. He went from the Beis HaMoked La'azor into the Azara, and the Mefarsh told us that he went to check. We learned already there's a machlokes what he went to check for. Either he went to check that all the kelim were in place for the next day's avoda, or he went to check that the kohanim who were on their guard duty were not sleeping. V'nichlus ha'kohanim achrov, and kohanim went after the mamuna. Ushtei avukoi shel or biyodam. And there were two torches of fire in their hands. The Bach puts in a vav in the next word. They divided up into two groups. Elu mahalchim b'achsadra derech mizrach. One group went under the colonnade. There was a colonnade made with pillars and a roof, and that's where they kept the kelim for the avoda. And the Gemara thinks that has a havim, as we'll see in Amud Beis, that was made from wood. So one group would go in this colonnade, which surrounded the entire Beis Hamikdash. They went to the east. Ve'elu mahalchum achsadra derech mariv, and the other group went to the west. In other words, the group that went to the east went first to the north and then to the east. And the group that went to the west went first north, then west, then south, and then east. And they both groups joined together when they came to the east. They were checking, either for Kalim or their people were awake. And they were walking until they reached the same spot in the eastern side of the Azara. And which spot did they come to? Achimagim lamakim oisa chavitim, where they used to make the chavitim. These were the minchas chavitim of the Kohen Gadol. And these minchas chavitim were 12 chalas of the Kohen Gadol that were nikrav. They were brought as a korban every day, half in the morning and half at night. And they were first boiled. The flour was boiled, then it was baked, and then it was finally fried. Higiyu elu ve'elu, when both groups met, Amru, they said, Shalom, is everything okay? Hakol Shalom, everything is okay. The Tiferes Yisrael learns that each group asked each other, did you find all the kelim? Was everybody awake? Is everything beseder? Shalom, everything's good on your side? And the other group would answer, Hakol Shalom. And this was done twice, one group to the other. Hamidu Oysa Chavitim Las Chavitim. At that point, they established which of the Kohanim would be the ones to make the Chavitim for the Kohen Gadol for that day. Mish Zocha Litra Mesamizbech, the Kohen who was Zocha in the pious to be Torm the Mesbech, who Yitraim, he would now go ahead to be Torem to remove the ashes from the Mesbech. The Haim Oimrim and the others would tell him, Havizor, be careful. Shalai Tiga Bekli Ad She Tikdash Yadech Vraglechem Nakir. You shouldn't touch any keli. You're going to now pick up the machte, the shovel, which you're going to use for Trumas Hadeshin. You shouldn't touch any keli until from the kir, your magdish, your hands and feet. You would put the right hand on the right foot, the left hand on the left foot, and you would use the water for the kir to mekadish yadayim v'raglayim. One was not allowed to do avoda before kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. But actually here, it's not an avoda. Here he's just touching the machteh. So why did they tell him, Avizor, shalai tiga b'kli, that you shouldn't even touch the keli, ad shetagdish yadech v'raglecha min akiyar? So on this, the answer is that the Mefarish, first of all, tells us that even if a person, a Kohen, did Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim the day before, but there's a halacha that lina poiselis Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim. And therefore, every day, even if he did it the day before, once night came, so in the morning, there was lina of Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim, and he had to do it again. The reason he had to do it before he touched the keli, because they were choshish, maybe he'll do the avoda without kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. And that would, of course, would be aser. And also, we're going to find that he did the trumas hadeshen alone, so there was no one to remind him to be mekadesh yadayim v'raglayim before he did the avoda of the trumas hadeshen. And therefore, he was told now, even before he touches the kli, go and make kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. And then they also told him the following: Vahare hamacht and the sunu b'miktsaya. The shovel that you're going to use for trumas hadeshen is put in the corner ben hakeves l'mizbeach, between the keves and the mizbeach, b'maravay, on the west side. In other words, it was in the area ben ha'ulam l'mizbeach. It was not between the mizbeach directly and the Ulam, which was the entrance into the Heichal, but rather it was the Kevis. The Kevis, as the Mefarish explains, was six lines from the bottom of the Mefarish in the left half hand column. The Kevis, who, Mizbeach l'chol davar. Kevis has halacha of Mizbeach for everything. So here too, the Machte was put not between the Mizbeach itself and the Ulam, but rather between the Keves and the Ulam. Which side of the Mizbeach, which side of the Keves? On the western side of the Keves, which was between the Keves and the Ulam. B'miktsaya b'ena Keves l'Mizbeach b'maravi shal Keves. And ein adam nichnas imoy. Nobody went with him to pick up that machta as he was going to do the avod of Trumas Hadeshen. The reason for this is because you cannot do avod, as we explained, without Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim for the kir. But here there's a catch 22, because in order to do avoda, you need the kir. And where is the kir? The kir was situated between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. And you were not allowed to go to the Mizbeach, between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, unless you had Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. But how can I go to the Kir when I don't have Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim? I'm not allowed to enter there, so how can I ever get ready to do any Avoda? The answer, Taisa says, is that since you want to do Avoda for you, it's permitted to go into that area. If you don't want to do avodah, you're not allowed to go into the area without kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. But if you want to do avodah, then you have a heter to go into that place without kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. But memela, nobody else was allowed to accompany him because that person was not doing the avodah. If you're not doing the avodah, you can't go into that area without kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. So you're barred from that area. That's why he used to go in there by himself. V'loy ner b'yada, he didn't have any ner in his hand. And it could be the reason for this is because that his hands should be free for him to do the avodah. He shouldn't be carrying anything else. So he couldn't carry a torch. But how did he move around the mizbech? He walked with the light. There was light from the coals, the embers that were still lit, that they provided enough light for him to walk around there. Loi ha'yuroina, say the others did not see him, as we turn to Daf Chaf Ches on the base. V'loi ha'yishayman es koyle, they didn't hear his voice. Ad sha'yishayman koyle ha'etz sha'asa ben ketan muchni l'kiyur. The Mefarish explains that really we shouldn't have said here loi ha'yishayman es koyle, but we are only saying it because we're contrasting with what they did hear. When they heard the sound of the wood that Ben Ketan did, he made a muchani, he made a wheel with the pulley system for the kiyur. When they heard the kayin lifting up the water of the kiyur through this pulley system, as we'll explain in a moment, then they finally heard a coil that the kohen was doing something. So that's why the beginning here it says, Laya Yishayman es koyle. They didn't hear anything, and the first sound that they heard was the wheel that pulled up the water that had been lowered. Now, what is this referring to? Ben Ketan was a kohen gadol, and he is known for improving the kiyur system in two ways. Number one, it used to have only two spouts, and he made 12 spouts. And number two, there used to be a problem always with lina, that if the water would stay overnight, it would become posel. How was he misaking that? He lowered each night the kiyur with the water into the well underneath. And once there was hashaka, the two waters, the water of the kiyur and the water of the well there, touched each other. So the well itself, which is in the ground, there is no soul of lina. So the water now of the kiyur, before night break, the evening before, before shki of the evening before, they would lower it. Then they had a shaka. Then just like the well, there's no dinlina, so too on the mayim and the kiyur, there's no dinlina. Then in the morning now, when he was ready to do kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, he would use this muchani, this wheel system with the pulleys, to lift up the kiyur, and then he was mekadesh yadayim v'raglayim, and now he was able to do the avodah of the Terumas HaDeshen. V'heim oimrim, when they heard this sound, they said, Higia eis kiddush yadayim v'raglav min hakiyur. Now we came to the time of kiddush yadayim v'raglayim from the kiyur. Natal machtas hakesef, he took the silver shovel. It wasn't made out of gold because the deshen, the ash that he's now going to pick up from the mizbech, would have ruined the gold finish. He now went up with the silver shovel to the top of the mizbech. Pina esagecholim, the Bach says the next words are eilich ve'eilich. He moved around the coals. He cleared them from one side to the other. And he went down by clearing this path, and he went to Esamucholos Apnimius, to those inner coals that were consumed more. And the reason for this, the Mefarish explains, is because those became deshen, they became ash. The rest, which weren't burnt so well, did not become ash. Yorad, he then went down with the shovel full of ash from the Mizbeach. Higil Ritzvi came to the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. Hafach Panav Litzofen, he turned, he made a left-hand turn towards the north. Hoylich b'mizrachi shel kevesh, he now went to the east of the kevesh. Ke'eser amas, he only went 10 amas along the kevesh. Now, why did he only go 10 amas along the kevesh? So the Mefarsh explains that the kevesh actually was 32 amas long. However, 2 amas, according to many opinions, overlapped the mizbeach. one amma of the Yesod, the foundation of the Mizbeach, and one amma of the Sovev, which was a ledge around the Mizbeach where the Kohanim were able to walk. So these two ammas, the last of the 32 ammas of the Kevesh, went on top of the Mizbeach. So there was only 30 ammas from the Mizbeach till the end of the Kevesh. He put the Trumas HaDeshen 10 amos from the end of the Kevesh. In other words, there was another 20 amos to go. And if we look in the Mefarish, on the right-hand column at the bottom, which is 10 lines from the bottom, he asks the question, Vim Toimer Habi'inen V'Samei Etzel Mizbeach. You're supposed to put the ashes next to the Mizbeach, Unehi the Keves Kimizbeach L'Chomili, even though the Keves has Allah, as we saw in Amid Aleph in the Mefarsh, as being like the Mizbeach for everything. Mikol Makam Hayolonu L'Karvoy Etzel Mizbeach. You should bring it close to the Mizbeach. Why are you stopping at 10 Amis? V'adayin Hu Rochik Min Mizbeach Esher Amis. It's still 20 Amis away from the Mizbeach. Amar Li Rebbe. So the Mefarsh says, my Rebbe told me, as we're going to see in the Mishnah here, that the ashes of the Trumas HaDeshen were put in the same place where the crop and the feathers of the bird offering, after the dung was squeezed out, it was thrown from the top of the Mizbeach by the Kohanim, and throwing, and there where it fell, it got miraculously swallowed into the ground, as did the ashes of the menorah and the ashes of the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the inner golden Mizbeach. So it says over there, by the crop of the birds, the chsiv, my rav anoitza, and the feathers, v'hishlechaysa, etzel ha-Mizbeach kedma, to the east he should throw it, v'kimlu l'rabbanan, and the Rabbanan had a Kabbalah, the loy mikri hashlocha pachas miasrim amas, that less than 20 amas is not called throwing it. We'll skip one line here. Hilkach maniach sadeshin rochik min amizbeach esrim amas. He left the trumas sadeshin 20 amas away from the mizbeach. Shenoisin shomer rov venoitza, because he was putting it in the same place where they threw the bird crop and feathers, and also they put there, as we said, Dishu Mizbeach HaPnimi V'Dishu HaMenor. V'chol Elu, says the Mefarish, Nivlom B'mkaimon, they were all miraculously swallowed up there in the ground. Aval Trumas HaDeshen Nirali Dulei Hoysen Nivlas. But the Trumas HaDeshen, the sheet of the Mefarish, is it was not miraculously swallowed up. Why? What's my Raya? Mid Amrina B'Yuma. We find in Yuma Daf Chafal Fumad Alf. Asorin Nisim Naslov, it's number 10 Nisim that happened in the base of Migdash, and the Gemara asks, there's another Nesu Parchinin Vesulaka Vamar Abaya Moira Saif Vedishim Mizbeach HaPnimi Vedishim Menar Nivlam Bim Kaiman Vim Isa the Trumas Hadesh Kumai Kain Nivlas Havle Lach Shuva. So the Mefarish says the Gemara over there asks, there's another Nes because the Dishon of Mizbeach HaPnimi and the Dishon of Menara and the Moira Venites of the bird were all swallowed in that place there, 20 yamas away from the Mizbeach. So why isn't that mentioned? Says that's what the Gemara's kasha is. There's not 10, there's another one. But V'im Isa, says the Mefarish, if you hold that the Trumas HaDeshen was also swallowed, so why didn't the Havalei Lach Shuva? It should have mentioned it together with the My Rav and Knights of the Bird and the Dishon Menar and Dishon Mizbeach HaPnimi. It's not mentioned. Elamai Lachar Zaraya. And then he brings a Gemara in Croesus, which says, V'samei Malamei Chetunin Geniza, the Asulanis from Trumas HaDeshen. You can't have enough from Trumas HaDeshen, and you have to hide it. So apparently you have to hide it because it wasn't swallowed in the ground. There's a danger people would have Hanaf from it, which is Usur. Therefore, it had to be hidden someplace. So this is the sheet of the Mefarish concerning whether it was miraculously swallowed up or not, the Trumas HaDeshen. And really, there's a machlokes between two Tosfos in Yuma Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. He agrees with the Mefarish. However, Tosfos in Zvachim Daf Samach Dal Amud Aleph Divrei HaMaskil Dishon disagrees, and there on this point there is a machloikis harishainim. So when I learned this in preparing the shir, I was learning this mefaresh. I thought that it sounds familiar similar to a famous Torah Tmima in Chumash. When I looked up the Torah Tmima, which is in Bereishis, Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Chav Dalet, I found, to my great joy, that the Torah Tmima, in fact, from all of Shas, quotes this Mefarish that we are learning in Masechet Tamid at the end of the first Perek. He quotes it concerning Yosef and his brothers, and since he quotes it, and it's this Mefarish that we just learned inside, I think it's worthwhile to speak it out. The Pasuk says that that Reuven told his brothers, Yod Al Tishlach L'boy, Laman Hatzel Yosef Miyadim, Lashiv El Aviv. Reuven's purpose was that Yosef should not be killed, but he should be thrown, Ashlichu El Aboyer, and the purpose was to save Yosef. And when the Pasuk says, Chavdalid, Vayikachu, they took him, Vayashlichu Yosef Aboyer, they threw him into the pit, Vahabor Reik, Aim Bamayim, and the boar was empty, it had no water. There's a famous Gemara in Shabbos, the Chav Bezim at Aleph, that Dorish of Nasser Bar Menyumi, Mishmeid Rab Tanchum. Why does he have to say there was no water? You said it's empty. To tell you, didn't have water. Scorpions and snakes, it did have. Says the Torah to Mima. We have to say that Reuven and his brothers did not know that in the border were Nechashim HaKravim. Reuven's whole purpose was to save Yosef and bring him back to his father's, to his father. And it's a tremendous sakana, as we'll see from a Gemara in Yevamos, to throw somebody in a place of snakes and scorpions. V'gam echav elu ilu hayu yoidim v'ro achar kach shenotzem mimakam sakana v'adois im kein schusse gadol meyoid. Then he has a great schus, he must be a tzaddik. V'oz aloi b'vare lo holchim oi achar kach b'keri. They wouldn't have been treacherous with him b'mechiru l'mejonim, to sell him to the mejonim. Ki aloi afilu nevuchad netzer shoyu roha shamuchlat b'chol zeh achre shiro l'chanani mishol v'zar shenitzolim mekiv shenayish hir tshuva b'libo. They would have done tshuva if they would have seen the miracle that Yosef got saved from the Nechashim HaKravim, which is like an imminent death. Even the Nebuchadnezzar, when he saw the miracle with Hananiah Mishael Bazar, had a hero tshuva in his heart. It's not a pell if they didn't see what was in the board, says the Torah Tmima. Ki lefi mashikosah mefarish lemesach the tamid b'soif perakama de'ein ashlach apachsma esrim amo. Now when it says vayishlach, which we just learned, the moirah v'noitza, it had to be 20 amos, because the word vayashlich doesn't mean less than 20 amos. V'kandis the vayashlichu, says the Torah Tmima, it says here they threw him into the boar, and it uses the word vayashlichu. Im kein oyabor amuk esrim amo v'yoyser, it must have been more than 20 amos deep. V'kaimalon de lamala mi esrim einoy shalotim shalotas, up of 20 amos, you don't, a person's eye doesn't catch what's up above 20 amos. K'moy de kaimalon in ner chanek v'sukkah. So he now answers a famous question. We have in Shabbos Chaf Beis, and starts on Chaf Alfamid Beis, that Rab Nassim Bar Menyumi Mishmeid Rab Tanchum says that you shouldn't put a menorah above 20 amos, because people don't see the menorah if it's up above 20 amos. And then it says this thing about the Nechash Vakrabim in the boar. So what's the connection between the two mamorim? So the Torah Tmima says, Levada Simicha Shenem Rushnei in Yonami Chada Moira. Simply, and I believe Rashi there learns like that the same Amoira who said the first thing said the second thing, Rab Nosson Bar Menyumi, in the name of Rab Tanchum. That's why the Gemara brings both items which have no shaykhs l'char one with the other. The Torah Tmima says no. Now we could say they have a big shaykhs, a big connection. Yesh loimer oid mishum detam shneim shava lahoyres de lamala mi esr mama eino ayin shalatis. Just like you don't look above, you don't look carefully above, your eye doesn't fall on it. So too, they took a glance in the boar. They didn't see, their eye went 20 amas down. They didn't look more carefully at the bottom of the boar. They didn't see the nechash v'rakra there, because a person just deals with 20 amos at a time, not higher and not lower. And now there's a beautiful connection between the two members there, besides the fact that it's Rab Nosson Bar Menyumi Mishmeid Rab Tanchum who said both members. And then the Torah Tmima says you have to say that Yosef was saved from the Bor Al Pines, because the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph Omed Aleph 12 says, Nafal abor malay and the chashiv akrab me'idin all of shemes. Umatir mes ishtoi. Mishum damrinim vadai meisham. V'im kain b'der chateva loya yachli natsum misham. So the din is that if witnesses say that your husband fell into a pit of the chashiv akrab, she's allowed to remarry, and we're not worried that she's an ashes ish. Her husband definitely died. So we see b'der chateva, it's not possible to survive a boar full of snakes and scorpions. So if so, how come Reuven threw him there? Teretz says it was lower than 20 amos. He didn't see. How come the brothers didn't realize it's a tzaddik and this happened to him? The answer is they didn't see, because vayashlichu means 20 amos. Whenever you use that term, as the Mefarish here, it seems to be the only makor for this concept is in the Mefarish we just learned in Tamid on Daf Chav Ches Amid Beis. Based on this, I once said that's the pshat. Al tashlicheni le'ezikna. We pray to Hashem, don't throw me into old age. We should go gradually. Rachmana Litzlan, there are people, sometimes they're 60 years old or 50 years old, and they get Hashem a stroke or some other debilitating illness. And overnight, they turn like a person of 90, chas v'shalom. That's shiluach. That's in one shot throwing a person down or throwing the oif from the mizbeach down 20 amos in one shot. We beg to Hashem, we pray, al tashlicheni leisikna. Let it be gradually becoming old age and not being thrown down. We return to our Gemara, where we said that he put the ashes around 10 amas from the end of the keves, which means it was 20 amas from the mizbeach, and we explained the reason for that. And now it continues and says that tzobar es hagecholim, he piled up the gecholim there at those 10 amas. The Mefarish explains the reason for this is because it says v'samoi eitzla mizbeach va'amrin v'samoi shloifazer. The last Daf, which we had this chus to learn together in Tzmura, Daf Lamedal Lamedalev, says on the word Vesamoi Shaloyefazer, don't spread it out, but rather put it in one place. Al Gabe Haritzba, that he put it there on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, Rachik Min HaKevish Shlosh Tvachim, there's Alach L'Mayshu B'Sinai, that it has to be far away from the Kevish, three Tvachim. Malkim Shenois Nemaras Oif, this is the place where they put the crop and the feathers of the bird, V'dishim Mizbech HaPnimi, and the ashes from the golden Mizbech in the Heichal, V'dishim HaMenorah, and the ashes from the Menorah. Begins the Gemara, Umi Avech Sad Drois Bazar, you said that they walked under the colonnades. In the Azara, it was made out of wood, that was a Gemara's Havimina, is that possible? Vatani, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said, Minai, Yin Sheinai, Sechus, Doris, Bazorah. How do you know that you don't make colonnades in the Azorah? Talmud, Lamed, the Pasuk says, Lay, see, Dilichoi, Asherah, call Eitz. Eitz, Mizbach, Hashem, Likacho. You shouldn't plant an Asherah, which was an Avoid Azorah, by next to the Mizbech of Hashem. And we learn, Hachi Kamer, we learn this Pasuk in the following way, in that the Pasuk is telling you there's two things you're not allowed to plant in the based image next to the Mizbech. Loisita l'cha Asherah. Number one, you shouldn't plant an Asherah. But number two, the Loisita goes, Loisita l'cha Koleitz, Eitz Mizbech Hashem L'Kachol. Even to put a piece of wood, not an Asherah, to put that in the floor of the Beis HaMikdash next to the Mizbech is also usher. So how could they make these wooden colonnades? You're not allowed to put wood in the Beis HaMikdash. Amar Rav Chisda, the answer is, Bachsadroi Shalbini, was colonnades made out of stone. Which would mean it's not wood, stone. What about the roof? Some say the roof was made out of stone, and others say that the roof was made out of wood. What about this pasuk of Leisita L'cha Kol Eitz, Eitz Mizbach Hashem L'Kecho? So one answer is that either it's only Usser vertically, up and down, and not horizontally. The roof was horizontal, no Isser. Or that the Isser is like the Asherah when the wood touches the ground. It's like planted in the ground. But where by the roof of the Achsadrois, it was affixed to a standing structure of Avonim. So up there, that's not an Isser, that's not a violation of planting any wood on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash because it's up in the air, and there's no Isser to have a wooden structure. Continues the Gemara to explain in the last part of the Mishnah. Hayu boitkin v'halchin, they would go and check either for Kalim or that every Mishmar there were up until they came to the place where they made the chavitin, and then they assigned kohanim to make the loaves for the kohen gadol's minchas chavitin. Lememra the chavitin havakadimi. Should we say it's mashma that they started making the loaves for the kohen, the mincha, before the seder hayoyim? Even before the oila is brought, Vatani, we learned in the Brisa. Minayin, Shein Davar Kadam L'Tamat Shal Shachar. How do we know there's nothing before the Tamat Shal Shachar? Tam Elaymer, V'arach Aleh Ha'oila, that you should prepare on it the oila, since I use the hay of Ha'oila. V'amar Rabba Ha'oila, you know what that means? The special hay ayidi is oila Rishayna, that the oila is the first korban, nothing comes before it. From the Tamid Shal Shachar, so how could they make the Chavitin first? Am Rabbi Yehuda, this is no kasha. L'hachem chamel l'revicha. They, we know, as we spoke out before, that the Minchas Chavitin was made by first boiling the flour in water, and then baking it, and then frying it. So here they were just doing a hechsher. They were just preparing to warm up water so that after the oila was brought, which is in fact the first korban, the afterwards they then would go ahead and boil the actual flour and bake it and eventually fry it. But in fact, they did not make the chavitim before the oilas ha-tamid. For all those who have finished this entire perek, hadrin alach b'shloisha mekaymais, hadrin alach b'shloisha mekaymais, hadrin alach b'shloisha mekaymais.